Today I want to turn back to the letter of Paul to the Philippians. A wonderful letter and a wonderful passage from the letter today, where Paul writes, "Not having a righteousness of my own based upon the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith." I want you to hear that again. Not having a righteousness of my own based upon the law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends upon faith. What do we think of when we think of righteousness? What do we think of when we think of unrighteousness? When we normally think of the law, the Ten Commandments, the Hebrew covenant with God, the Old Testament law of Moses that came down from Mount Sinai there in the wilderness, the law which defined what one was supposed to do and when and where and how, and the law which said what you could do and what you could not do. And so when we think of righteousness in the world today, we normally think of the do-dos and the don't-dos. There's usually a whole lot more do-dos than don't-dos, isn't there? You know, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that and you're supposed to do this other. And if you don't do them, you're not righteous. And if you do do these other things and you do do that and you do do this other, then you're unrighteous. So don't do them. Right? Usually we think of righteousness as a whole bunch of do-do and don't-do. Yeah. Think about it with me for just a moment. Think in your life. When you have realized and thought yourself to be really good and righteous, it's because you have done something that you're supposed to do, or you haven't done something that you weren't supposed to do. Yep. That's how I was brought up as a kid. The Ten Commandments were put up there on the wall, and I looked at them, and I was told, those are the things you're supposed to either do or not do. And if you don't do those things that you're not supposed to do, and you do those things you're supposed to do, you'll be good. And that was the life, and that was the situation, and that was the context within which Paul was brought up. He was a good Jew, a good Pharisee, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. That's pretty good for a man in Jewish context. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, a member of the legal party, if you will. He knew about the law. He had many reasons to boast about his background. He could say that he was righteous in his upbringing. He was righteous in his character. He was righteous in all of his doings and his goings. And yet, because even though he had such a wonderful pedigree, even though he had such a wonderful background, even though he came from all the right schools and knew all the right people and did all the right things at the right time and the right place, even though he was such a righteous person according to the law, Paul considered it all rubbish. As Jerry said last service, garbage. Garbage. Refuse. Loss. He considered all the attainments of the law, all the attainments of the Jewish culture, all the attainments of the Hebrew covenant, all of the characteristics of what it meant to be a Hebrew born of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, of a Pharisee, circumcised on the eighth day, all this important stuff in his life, he considered rubbish. Put it in our context today. You know, I'm a baptized Methodist. Cradle to grave. Not me. I'm not in the grave yet. Confirmed in the Episcopal Church. Ordained by Bishop Blake twice.
Give thanks for
your faith. Oh, hush. I got a degrees longer than your arm. But all of it's rubbish. All of it's garbage compared with knowing and living and having within me the righteousness of God, which comes by faith. Simple as that, my friends. I don't care what your family pedigree is. You can be a Perkins or a Prothro. It matters not. You can be a Methodist from five generations of Methodists. You can be a member of this church since it was at Adams Street. You can be truly have a pedigree, you know, like no one ever saw before. Doesn't matter. It's all rubbish compared with knowing the love, the grace, the power, the faith, the real presence of Jesus in your life. It's all about faith, my friends. This Christian life is entirely about living by faith. I'm going to take this microphone off because we don't have the portables working right now. Well, I need to move around just a bit. Now, every year, I try to bring out the chair. Now, looks like a chair. Sounds like a chair. Don't it? And it does. You know what? I think that that chair will support my weight. Don't you? Now, I know I look really big. Watch it, Jerry. You're going to get yourself in trouble again. I think that chair will support my weight. It looks sturdy. It sounded sturdy. I saw Chuck sitting in it over in Roma's classroom the other day, so I know it supported him. He's wearing one of my old suits. I think it'll support me. I think it'll support me. In fact, I really and truly believe that that chair will support my weight. Yep, I believe it. I believe it with all my head, and I believe it with all my heart. But I think I'm just going to sit down right over here, next to Jeff. Hi. Is that faith?
No.
No, thank you. 4 years haven't gone to waste. That's not faith. That's not faith. That may be belief that the chair will hold my weight. That may be true conviction that the chair will hold my weight. That may be good belief that the chair will hold my weight. But until I sit in the chair, it ain't faith. When I take my belief and put it into action by sitting in a chair, I am exercising faith in this chair that it'll hold. This is more faith. That's even more. I won't stand in this. Not that full of faith in this chair. Faith is an action. Plain and simple. We can get all spiritual about it, but to put it simply, faith is an action. An action based upon your belief in something or someone. And faith in Jesus Christ is faith in His grace, faith in His love, belief that He will support you. You don't have to depend upon your own ability to obey the law to be saved, my friends. You don't have to depend upon your own ability to obey the law and do the things you're supposed to do and not do the things you're not supposed to do. You don't have to depend upon yourself to be saved, to be righteous, to live and be and conduct yourself according to God's will. Rather, you believe in Jesus, that He can live through you and transform you. And He will live righteously through you. if you believe it, and allow Him to support you, and step out in faith upon your belief, He will transform you into His righteousness. That's the simple message of the gospel, my friends. That's an important message for one of the last Sundays of Lent. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday. A Sunday when we proclaim, Hosanna, come and save us, Savior. We greet you as you enter the city. In just 5 days, we'll be calling for Barabbas, but we're greeting you today. Today, it's a good chance and a good time now to sit back and to ask ourselves, are we dependent upon ourselves for our righteousness? Are we depending upon our ability to obey the law to be saved? Or are we depending upon the righteousness of God that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ? Our background, our history, our pedigrees, our educations, our terms of membership in churches, our works, good works and otherwise, it's all rubbish. Without faith, it's meaningless. Without faith, active trust, active belief in Jesus Christ, it's empty garbage. And today we have yet another opportunity through the singing of the hymns, through the praying of the prayers, through the fellowship that we've had together already today, through the hearing of the scriptures read and proclaimed, through the sacrament of Holy Communion, we have again today another opportunity to come with faith, to kneel and to receive a bit of bread and a bit of juice with our focus on Christ and His love, and by faith eat and receive the real presence of Jesus again. It's a focus of faith, my friends. All of these means of grace are focuses of faith. Of faith. And if we can focus in on Jesus' presence in the Scripture, Jesus' presence in the hymns, Jesus' presence when we pray, Jesus' presence in the person next to you in the pew, Jesus' presence in the person to whom we give a cup of water, Jesus' presence in the elements. If we can focus in on Jesus' real presence and accept Him by faith, He will transform us. And we will live in His righteousness. That's all there is to it. May sound too simple, doesn't it? No. The life of faith is hard. But it's the only life that works. It's the only life that brings righteousness and salvation. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.